Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Back again.
Another Crab Feast. I thought you were going to get me on that one. If you three more seconds, you'd have had me on that.
I was trying to get you,
good
man.
Job,
I was trying.
That's that meditation going on.
You know,
I feel like you're channeling, bro.
A little bit of that meditation.
That's good
a little
for
bit
you,
of that cardio. Something.
Good to touch
up,
your
baby?
Pitch, J-Lar.
Barry's boot camp. Good to touch yours, Sickle Cell. Great to be here with you. Great to be here, Feaster Nation. JLarsonComedy.com. Jay Larson Comedy and all social media. If you go over to jlarsoncomedy.com, my tour, the Mostly Crowdwork Tour, is starting tomorrow night in Cleveland, Ohio at Hilarities. Go on my website. You can get tickets the 4th, the day after, this Thursday in Detroit at the Detroit Shipping Company. Can't wait to go back to Cleveland. Can't wait to get out to Detroit. It's been a minute since I've been there. And then the 5th, Chicago, Illinois. We added a second show. So there's a 10 o'clock show as well now at the North Bar in Chicago. And then out to Fort Wayne. I've heard great comedy scene out there. Can't wait to get there. The Tiger Room at Welch's Ale House on Calhoun Street. That just seems like I have to say it. And then next week, a week from tomorrow, the 10th, at the McMenamins Mission Theater. I know you guys say I'm saying it wrong. I don't know. Tacoma Comedy Club on the 11th. That's next Thursday. Wenatchee on next Friday at the Numerica Performing Arts Center. Then Petaluma back there again. We love being up there in Petaluma, Sickle, at the Griffo Distillery and Tasting Bar in Petaluma. I'm excited for that. We're going to do that whole thing in the round. That whole show is going to be in the round, which I've always wanted
to
do.
Awesome.
And that's the same with Wenatchee. You're going to do in the round there as well. And then Oakland, California on the New Parish. And then all my other dates are out there for October. And Phoenix on the 26th, Houston, Denver, and then the East Coast out in November. So please, 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 if you're in the area, pick up some tickets, call some friends, bring them out. It's going to be an interesting show, mostly crowd work and a bunch of new stand-up material as well. Looking forward to seeing all you out there. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on Instagram and Ryan Sickler on all social media. My website is ryansickler.com. For local shows in and around Los Angeles, hit my website. You'll see those listed there. But the one show I want to promote is the Baltimore show, Saturday, November 17th at the Famous. That's Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Josh Adam Myers, the four-legged comedian, is joining me. We're going to have a great night out there at Jimmy's. And I'm telling you right now, don't sleep on this. The tickets are on my website. They're on the crabfeast.com. Get them now. We're 2 months away. And we're well over half sold, so you better get on it and get them now because it's going to sell out. The Crab Feast is on iTunes, Spotify, Laughable. You can play directly from our site. We are in October. Breast Cancer Awareness Month is back. So you want to do us a favor and help us help some breast cancer awareness, go hit our website. There's still some merch left. We've got some bigger size shirts for you larger dudes out there.
Some Touch and Pitches hats.
Some Touch and Pitches hats are left. Some all JUCO shirts. There are some FTCF and Tuesdays. Like the small sizes and the
small,
big sizes are there. So, you know, and there are a few XLs left in there too. Some, I think some black Touch and Pitches.
Never going to be available again.
Are we going to put them on Bonfire?
Possibly.
We may possibly put these up on Bonfire. So make sure you get your merch now. We will be donating to breast cancer awareness. And subscribe and follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter for all Crab Feast info.
No info needed for this next guest. Excited to have him on. It's been a long time coming. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time from the Comedy Bureau, Mr. Jake Kroger.
Jake Kroger,
welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Thanks so much, guys.
You're welcome.
I didn't know if I was going to go Jake, then Comedy Bureau. There's a long pause there. It was
long
dramatic.
One and the same.
Pregnant, I think they called it.
Pregnant pause? Is that what you're... No, thank you so much for having me on. Thanks for applauding. I know
we clap everybody on, bro. You're welcome.
Yeah. We had talked about it before about not clapping you on. So
if you've made it to the Crab Feast, you haven't done shit in your life, but it's still worth an applause. God,
sure is.
It is worth
just for parking.
Just for the parking.
Yep.
Well, it's great to have you here, Jake. And before as we always do, ask every guest to send us a few stories, mm-hmm. not to get too deep at all, just a log line. Mm-hmm. And you've come with quite a few, and we're excited to get into those. Mm-hmm. But before we do, will you please plug your social media, your shows, anything you'd like?
Thanks, man. As Jay mentioned, the Comedy Bureau, I am the Comedy Bureau, the Everything You Need to Know website about LA comedy, and a little bit more.
If you're even thinking about comedy in Los Angeles, I just want to give you your props, because everyone asks me all the time, I'm starting comedy, and what
show
should
I do? I go to the Comedy Bureau.
That's exactly what the fuck I say. But I go everything from open mics to the best shows in the world, all that right there in one location.
For sure.
You.
But we also get a lot of fans reach out to us and talk about how much we've introduced them to comedy. It's worth going over to the Comedy Bureau, even if you don't live in LA, because you put so much stuff up that
can introduce Sickler at times, but other than that,
can introduce people to more comedy.
I'm always happy to do that. I love that this scene has so much, and before it got even started, like, there was no real central source of information. And I thought it would be really great if there was, so I just upped and did it. And if you told me more about your stuff, Brian, I would probably plug it more.
We'll see. So is that comedybureau.com?
The Comedy Bureau.
The Comedy Bureau.
It'll be 8 years old next month.
All right. And what about Twitter, Instagram, any of that stuff?
Yeah, so you can follow the Comedy Bureau at the Comedy Bureau on Twitter and Instagram, and it's on Facebook and Tumblr. I got all that stuff now.
Tumblr? I don't know if anybody's ever done a Tumblr plug on here.
It still exists, guys.
It's still
out there, baby.
Oh, 300-plus episodes, we finally crept in on a Tumblr plug.
Man, I'm going to be a lot of firsts on this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are,
For sure.
And then me separately, so I am this person who's like behind the scenes in LA comedy. Some people call me a LA comedy mayor. That's not my label. They came up with it. I do carry around a cane.
I was going to say, I mean, you do have a cane.
You do carry a cane.
Yep. I perform my stand-up myself, and I have my own Twitter and all that stuff. You can follow me on Twitter at MF Jake Kroger. The MF does not stand for motherfucking. Stands for Metal Fingers, after MF Doom, the rapper. I just love explaining it to people because it's confusing, I guess. I don't know.
People have already skipped over. That's a great explanation, man.
Comedy Bureau.
Right. And then on Instagram, I'm at Not the Supermarket. It's mostly just me categorizing my outfits because I dress up differently every day.
Yeah, I saw you last time and you had a pheasant feather in your hat, which I guessed correctly.
Yep.
Because there were a lot of stuffed fucking pheasants in people's homes where I grew up.
Yeah.
For whatever goddamn reason.
Because they were available.
Fucking stuffed feathers everywhere. Almost everybody's house I went, there was like this little dead pheasant in a setting over there.
Right.
But you said something I found interesting, and I probably have it wrong, but you haven't worn the exact, maybe variations of, same outfit for 6 years?
6 years, that's right.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I can't say that for six fucking days.
That's a fact.
That is a fact.
Me too.
It's just a fun thing I like doing all, like, every day. It's like a puzzle that I get to put together, and like, I mean, definitely today I got dressed for a podcast appearance.
Mm-hmm. First time I think I've ever seen you with not long sleeves.
That's the funny thing is, like, when it gets hot in LA and I dress appropriately for the weather, but I still dress dapper, people are like, oh, you're going casual, huh? You know, no long sleeves, no tie. And I'm like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wear a 3-piece wool suit in 90-degree weather.
For sure. But Jake also goes the extra. He doesn't just wear a tie. He creates his own knots to tie ties.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're
what's your knot? Like the double Windsor. What's yours?
I mean, there are knots that I like going to that look real fancy. I like the Eldritch knot a lot.
What have you created a knot? Like, do you have a knot?
Yeah.
I thought you had, no?
I have created my own knots, and I keep debating on what the names are, but they always are, like, really, like, weird, and you have to, like, use a tie clip to even make them work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So they're not really knots.
They are
knots.
You got
like the bee sting with toothpaste. Like, we got any kind of names for your knots?
Fine, let's go with Kroger knot. But I feel like
that's
that,
it, man. The Kroger
knot. I think the Kroger brand's probably got that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, are you of the Kroger family?
That's why my Instagram handle is not the supermarket.
Ah, because it's not. That's why it's not.
There's an extra E in my name, yeah.
He did bring granola bar samples when he came in.
Yeah.
Well, you certainly have a very rich past. sent a lot of fucking stories over here, but I didn't know this because I don't know your background that well. But you were not born in this country.
No, I was not.
So why don't we just start there about how you got here? Because this looks
Guatemala.
Guatemala.
Do you just want to like go down a list and guess where I'm from?
I'm starting with Guatemala, baby.
I know I would have. It's an easy guess for me.
Right.
But have you done a 24 and Me? Or whatever.
23 and Me.
Wait, I went one
what's
more
your
year.
Easy guess?
He's Filipino.
Yeah, you were several thousand miles off.
Started there. Guatemala's a great spot.
Don't try to cover that you were so off. I'm from the Philippines. I was born there, but I am adopted. And
did you see his face? But I am adopted.
Have you ever met your biological parents?
No.
We're going to be asking you a lot of questions.
Well, you know what? We got a surprise
you're not
right
believe
here.
It.
Jake's phone! Jake's real parents!
Get in here!
Get your son!
Get your Filipino ass out.
I mean, that would just
get
be...
Get your Guatemalan ass out.
God, if that bit was just real for once, it would be really amazing.
You just stick around, man. Bro. Stick around.
Oprah, bring him in here,
this podcast ain't over yet. Like,
All right.
Could you imagine, though, right?
Oprah Winfrey walked in. I would shit.
His birth parents.
Yeah, I mean, she would have my vote for president if she did that.
So you're born in the Philippines.
In the Philippines, and I don't know if your listeners are aware. The Philippines has been like not a great country for a very long time. And
I don't know what the title is. Is it president?
Yeah, they got a
he's gangster. Like people throw that term around. That dude is a gangster.
The way he handles crime.
Yeah.
He even dresses kind of like a gangster. Like he doesn't wear a tie.
I would say dapper.
Yeah. I've once read that he hasn't actually worn the same outfit in over 6 years.
Yeah, he just has like, you know, 1,000 different short sleeve shirts.
Blood all over those
can't get it out.
Yeah. He like made an actual rape joke during his campaign and like
He's something, that guy.
That guy. Anyways, you know, that's not surprising given the history of the Philippines. But I was born there. My birth mother, she had to leave me in a church when I was 9 days old. She like went to a church from a town that she wasn't from, and she sat through Mass. And she, when Mass ended, she asked for me to be baptized. And then she went to the gift shop. And
hold on a second.
She's going to light a candle.
There's
man.
A pro shop at the church.
Yeah. You know, she's going to, you know.
How much for this rosary right here? All right.
You know when you leave something behind and like, because you just want to get rid of something, like, I think you forget your sweater. You're like, no, that's not
that's
mine.
Not
you're
mine.
Like, you left your baby.
Hustling
no, 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 no.
out of there.
I think it is a nicer version of like when a husband and father leaves their family and they're like, I'm going to go to get cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like she actually took me to church, but then was like, I'm going to go.
Had you baptized just in case all that is actually real and you can still get up into pearly gates.
Right.
Go to purgatory.
Yeah. Which was very, very nice of her.
That's her departing gift.
Yeah.
How do you know that story?
So she left a note. And it turns out that
you could read in 9 months.
Yeah.
No, 9 days.
Days. That's right.
Nine days. Yeah, I'm a very smart guy.
Can I ask how old your mom was? Do you know?
I don't.
At that time?
I have no idea.
That wasn't on the note, right?
I'm
curious. I'm 23.
Well, somebody met her. Somebody saw her running out. They could have given a range. 19.
I kid you not, guys. On the
she was 5'3".
On the 5'3". On the adoption report that I read several years later, it just says a pretty young girl walked in to the cathedral. That's it.
That's the note from whoever was there that got. So someone found you.
It was obviously. Also the opening lines of the script Kill Bill. Pretty girl walked in to the cathedral.
Oh.
Okay, so...
So yeah, I she left a note, and it said that she was a person of interest of the MPA, which was a terrorist group parading as a communist like guerrilla group in the Philippines around the late 80s. And she just had to like leave me because she couldn't handle having like a newborn baby while
and a machine gun
and a machine gun,
yeah, breastfeed like
yep. No, sure.
Also, probably she was aware of how. This is just my guess because this sounds like at least someone who's doing something on the other side with a little bit of a conscience that you probably wouldn't even be here right now. You'd probably be dead.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
She did you a solid by sending you away.
Yeah.
Is she dead?
Yeah. I have no idea. All that I know of my birth mother is that she was this like pretty young girl that walked in the cathedral and had me baptized and left a note and
wow.
And was banking on that I would get into that orphanage that was connected to that church and that I might
it's right on the other side of the pro shop, right?
Yeah, right on
what pro shop gift shop
same thing, bro. Same thing, man.
Wait, like there's tackle at
like
this?
Like in a golf, like when you go golfing, you come out in a fucking
get a
driving range.
Like, can I get some juicy fruit?
Give me some of them Titleist teas over there real quick, and I'll get some of this holy water right here too, Father.
Yeah, she was just betting on that. Now,
and did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I got put in the orphanage. You know, it was interesting in this report what it said that was like for, I think like 2 weeks, as a matter of protocol, they had to like broadcast the name that I was baptized under over the airwaves.
Radio?
Yeah. And then
just to see if anyone heard it?
If anyone would claim me. And
So this isn't to say, hey, if you're the woman who left this baby, this is saying this baby's up for adoption.
No. It was the
first.
Yeah, okay. The first. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. But I bet it would open up some doors. They said she was pretty.
Yeah. Go
get that kid. Yeah. You guys got her number? But here's the crazy thing. I don't know if I've told you this. I mean, obviously, I wasn't baptized Jake Kroger. Have I told you my original birth name?
No.
It is much more fitting.
Boy under bench.
It's much more fitting of my style, I would say. So my name that I was baptized under was Fausto Angelo de Jesus.
Dude, that you are Fausto, bro.
Right?
Dude, whoever gave you Jake Kroger, you should fucking let you go back to Fausto de la who? Truth?
Angelo de Jesus, made up
that's
last
an
name.
Angel
of Jesus.
Of
yeah.
Jesus.
Made up last name.
Yeah. And what's Fausto?
I
fucking dope is what it is. Could you imagine the next stand-up show you do, like, ladies and gentlemen, Fausto, fucking Jake Kroger, get up here, man.
You bail already. Fausto does carry a cane, I would say.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Fausto, give us the whole name again.
Fausto Angelo de Jesus.
Angelo de Jesus. Damn.
Yeah.
Angelo of Jesus.
Angel.
Angel of Jesus, yeah.
Angel.
Angel
I
made
you Italian. Angelo of Jesus. Oh, man. Yeah. So
they broadcast this.
Yeah, for like 2 weeks and no one claimed me. And
so, but is that the name she wrote for you? Because if it wasn't, okay, it was. In the note. I was going to say, if it wasn't, there's no way she would ever fucking know if it was.
Yeah. Right, right. No, it was in the note. And then, yeah, no one claimed me and I got put in the orphanage and a year went by. And I mean, unbeknownst to me, like in that orphanage, they take pictures of all the kids and they like work with an adoption aid.
And what year is this?
This is 1988. That I'm getting adopted because I was born in 87.
So you're in there from 87 to 88, a full year.
Yeah, and they take a picture of all the kids and they send them to the adoption agency. And my parents, they give them a binder and they like go through and see the kids. And
you want Chinese?
Yeah, this trapper keeper right
here. Yeah.
Trapper keeper.
And it's kind of like Tinder too, where they just see the kids and they just like turn a page and like, all right, this he doesn't.
You're just swiping.
Yep. And yeah, they said I was like a real like
this one wearing a tie here.
Who looks
Fausto? What's it?
Fausto? Baby with the cummerbund right here.
Cummerbund.
I look like Boss Baby now. yeah, my parents stopped on me, and I was adopted. I was plucked out of the tropics of the Philippines and brought to Colorado in the dead of winter.
And how do they, I mean, that's crazy. So who pays for that? Do they pay for the person to fly out there and drop you off and shit?
Well, so, yeah, there's a few options you could do. Because my sister's also adopted and we from the Philippines, and we went over to the Philippines to pick her up. But you can have, like, a social worker fly over, pick them up, and then fly
okay, so back. Your family is, you're adopted by an American family, not other Filipinos. That real moved here. That moved here after they got you.
That's the weird thing, man. My dad is white and he is American. My mom is Filipino and immigrated here when she was a teenager.
Okay, oh, so wow. Before you,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah, yeah.
And she was that part of, like, she's like, I know that there are kids there that are, like, not going to get anything good. Let's get them out.
I honestly don't know. I mean, I think my dad wanted kids more than my mom, and I guess, like, my dad probably thought it would just seem to make more sense that he adopted a Filipino kid.
Yes, he's mine. Look at him. Look at my wife. Honey, get in here.
Yeah, but I don't look anything like them. So, he probably thought it made sense at the time. But
yeah, I'm going to say you probably, if anyone, look a little more like your mom than your dad.
Sure.
Does your mom
just go out on a limb?
Do you and your mom, like, connect over the idea of both being Filipino and, like, do you ever have any? I think I know the answer, but you just tell me.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom, I mean, she, like, spent her youth in the Philippines, supposedly in, like, the jungles and, like, the ghetto. Because, like, whenever I've gone to family events, they always make fun of how, like, poor my mom and her family, like, grew up.
They're who? Fun of. The dad side?
No. Like, other Filipino people.
Remember the Raps ate your birthday cake? Those were the days, man.
Yeah.
I can just see that happening, yeah, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I just love that's no matter where you're from. I mean, because that's how we both grew up.
Right.
Like, we make fun of everybody. We all got made fun of.
Right.
That they were even doing it in the Philippines.
Everywhere. Yeah. When it's a third world country, and there's still even, like, class within that. Like, you know, yeah, we have running electricity, so we can make fun of you who the
yeah.
people who don't.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my mom, like, I for all intents and purposes, am pretty American. Like, I, you know, don't really remember much in my time in the Philippines.
Clearly, yeah.
Except, you know, people sometimes doubt this, but I feel like I have this, like, just image of when my mom left me in a church.
Wow.
When I was 9 days old. I felt like I have this memory of it being cold. There was, like, a red curtain and a cross in the front. And in the report, it does say what cathedral it was, and I looked it up, and there's a big red carpet leading to the front, and then there's a gold cross hanging there. And I mean, that's a lot of Catholic churches, but
that's their colors, you know.
Yeah, that's their, yeah, it's their colors.
I don't want to rain on your parade.
No, but you know, I mean, hey, I, you know what's funny is, like, I'm thinking right now, like, just think about this. Think about your daughter, right, and letting her be with a complete stranger at a year old. She probably would have. I know my kids would have freaked the fuck out.
Fuck,
like,
yeah.
So then you,
I don't even
nine,
like doing it for a babysitter at a year old.
Right.
You know what
and
I mean?
So he's getting bounced around, and someone's flying on a plane with you. Imagine having to fly in from the Philippines with a kid you don't know.
Yeah, that's a
that's
long
a year
way
old.
Too.
That's probably freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, or well dressed and very calm.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? I didn't. I don't. Yeah, I don't remember any of that.
Is that in the report?
No, it's not. I came to America and I feel pretty American. And my mom, she always laments that she, like, didn't raise me more Filipino. You know what's weird about that? She always, like, when I was raised, would try to have rice in every dish.
I just want to ask, what are, like, traditional Filipino foods?
Well, traditional Filipino foods include, like, balut, lechon.
What are those?
Balut is, like, pickled duck eggs, and sometimes you'll get them in this big jar that's, like, of vinegar, and it's, like, eggs that are purple.
Yeah, I've seen those. I've had pickled
yeah,
eggs a number of times.
It's
you like them?
I don't know if they were duck eggs, but I've had duck eggs and I've had pickled eggs. I mean, you've had them too.
I have.
Duck? You never had pickled egg? Not duck, but eggs.
I don't think I've ever had.
You never had duck eggs?
Honestly, other than pickles, I usually stay away from pickled shit.
Oh, okay. I love pickled eggs. Yeah? But yeah, well, they used to have them like on the, you know, in jars like you're talking about, right? In like country stores, like you grab a pickle on them. Give me.
Are they bigger
egg.
Than a chicken egg, a duck egg?
No, they're smaller.
They're smaller. They're gross too. I don't like them. It's weird. I actually don't like most Filipino food. The Filipino food I do like is the sort of food that is in every Asian cuisine. Like their version of egg rolls are called lumpia, and their like noodle dishes called pancit. You know, you just have noodles and chicken and some veggies. And that's good. But I didn't get a lot of that growing up. What I got a lot of was just like American, like classic American dishes with rice.
Yeah.
So like meatloaf with
chicken
rice.
Nuggets and yeah. rice.
Chicken nuggets yeah. and rice. Mac and cheese with rice.
Wow.
Spaghetti with rice. And my, which is so weird. Rice is just like a kind of an Asian thing, and not even
everybody's got rice.
Everybody's got
Spanish,
rice.
Spanish, the Mexican, everybody's got rice.
But my mom, it was always insistent on having rice. In fact, like whenever we would travel overseas, like even to somewhere that rice is not their thing, like England, my mom would be like, "We got to go to a Chinese restaurant because I haven't had my rice." Like she's jonesing for rice. And I'm like, why don't we? Well, England's not a great example because their cuisine isn't that great. But like, just try the food. Can you go a week without eating rice?
How old were you when you went to England?
I was probably 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you speak any other language at all? Did your mom ever teach you any of that?
No, I know. Well, I know like some words, but I know more Italian than I do Tagalog.
I know nasa cama. Do you know what that means?
I actually don't.
It means in bed.
In bed.
Filipina girl taught me that a long time ago. I never got that one playing.
Oh, now, what's the context of that, Ryan?
I don't know. All I needed to know was where we were going.
I know too big. too big is water. Bahay Kubo is like a wooden house. Salamat, I think, means enough.
Very good.
Salamat!
All right, so I have a question.
Yeah.
How old are you when your parents now decide to adopt your sister? Because you were first, correct?
Right. Yeah.
But are you older?
I'm older, about like 6 years older. So I was 10 when she was adopted. And I wanted a sibling for a while.
Let me see the folder. Come on.
Give me that goddamn trapper keeper.
Yeah.
So could your parents not have kids?
Yeah, that was why.
Okay.
Yeah, my mom couldn't have kids, and you know, they decided to adopt. But yeah, I was 10, and
you accompany them on this trip.
Yeah, it was actually me and my mom went. It wasn't my dad. It was just me and my mom. We went to the Philippines, and that was the first time I had ever gone back to the Philippines. And you know, a lot of movies or story. I mean, everybody who's adopted has their own version of their own story because it's such a weird thing, and you don't really realize how weird it is until you like talk to other people.
That's what life is. You don't realize. You think your shit's normal yep. until you start talking to everybody else. You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, honestly, like when growing up, everybody in my house looks different than me, and I thought that was normal. And when I saw families, like pictures of families where everybody looked the same, I thought that was weird. Because mm-hmm. it's just
no,
different.
Totally. Anytime I've ever seen families where brother and sisters are like super tight and like get an apartment together and stuff, I always thought that was weird. I'm like, that's so weird. Fucking dial it back. Like, what do you know what I mean?
Right.
Just because it was different for me. But what I think is so weird, just as you're sitting here talking, I'm looking at you, I'm like, oh, you would have been a completely other person.
Right.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You would have spoken a different language. Oh, who yeah. knows what your like interest would have been? You're right. into comedy.
Right.
I don't know what the comedy scene is in the Philippines.
In the jungle. I worked Comedy Bureau Woo. In the jungle.
I don't know that there are a lot of comedy clubs open there, but you know, I try to explore this as like a premise on stage, and I like to think that I would have had the same smarts, but in a country like the Philippines, I just would have ended up being a drug kingpin.
Probably, yeah.
Dressed like one.
You would have had to, yep. exactly. You would have had to have adapted, and that is where you would have gone. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you fly to the Philippines. Now, when you go back to get your sister, mm-hmm. Do you visit the church and orphanage? You or Saint? Is it the same situation?
No, my sister.
She's four.
She's four, and she had been through a series of foster homes. And I had not even read the adoption report at the time. The whole reason my parents told me like a loose version of that all my life. Like I've always known that I was adopted, but I never really questioned their story or wanted to know more until the 2016 election, where my dad initially was backing Ted Cruz and then went to Trump. I'm like, all right, I want to know who my real parents are.
Can I ask you a question? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are wondering right now. Did you get to pick out your sister?
No.
I think that would have been interesting.
Do you remember helping in it? Did they show you pictures of her? Or
no, you know, I had always pictured getting a brother. And then
they broke the news when you got there. She is. What the fuck?
No, they told me like a few months before we were going to adopt my sister that it was going to be a sister and not a brother. And I just I don't think I really hesitated. I was just glad to have somebody else in the house. Yeah. You know,
does she know her biological parents or has she ever met them?
She has never met them. I think there is documentation of that, but. She had been through so many foster homes. I don't think she really feels inclined to like go search them out.
Yeah, it's gotta be. Yeah. I mean, that's gotta be something. Good Lord,
I can't imagine the paperwork in the jungle is that fucking.
Yeah,
you know, good either over there. You know what I'm saying?
No,
man, the red tape I gotta go through.
Y'all better have paper with each picture of that traffic keeper. Now you know how we're doing.
When I got there, though, you know, a lot of people who are adopted, when they go back to, like, maybe find their family or just visit the country where they're from or whatever, they have this, like, weird, like, sort of spiritual connection with the homeland or whatever. That was not the case for me. I think it was, again, like, just a wave of, like, gratitude of, like, this place is awful, and I'm so thankful that I don't live here.
Let's wrap this shit up, man. I'm halfway through a transformer right now. Just sitting there waiting, man. Let's go.
Man, that place, like, I mean, if you go to Manila, there's just, it looks like a modern city, but, like, things just don't run properly because things aren't, like, really.
No infrastructure.
No, and they're not enforced. Like, there are lines on the streets, for instance, but, like, people don't follow that. They just create, like, seven different lanes. And traffic gets so bad sometimes, like, it'll take an hour and a half to go just a couple blocks. Yeah, and people put up with it because that's what life is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to leave, that's it.
Yeah. And
well, think about some people who live, like, I don't know, in tiny little mountain towns. Like, if they came to L.A., they'd be like, you know what they do out there? They'll sit in traffic for an hour and a half to get 4 miles. Yeah. And you know why? Because that's just the way it is there.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. It is, but we have more stuff to do here, so.
But not if you're just sitting in traffic. It doesn't matter how much shit you got to do. You got nothing to do but sit in traffic.
You can listen to the Crab Feast.
You know what? I take back everything I said, bro. Every Tuesday.
I think about that a lot in the fact that I am who I am, and I'm here in America, and I run a thing called the Comedy Bureau, and I dress ridiculous, and I'm not in the Philippines. That's so crazy to me. It hasn't ever stopped being crazy to me. I mean, in a way, it's like a version of the American dream that people like that would write about, I think.
Are you super close with your mom?
No.
No.
I mean, which is weird because I live with her.
But it's super close with your dad.
I'm close with my dad. I feel like we were super close. And then, I mean, you know, the election made that not the case, I feel.
It's pretty crazy. I know a lot of people whose the election has affected their personal life and who they're like communicating with.
Yeah,
I've never seen it like
that. I'm not going to argue for either side of any of that stuff, but I that's a shame is all I'm saying. That's a shame because to go from what you went from to a man that adopted you and now you guys are, you feel something different. That sucks is all I'm saying.
It does suck. And I try to not, I mean, because I live with my folks and my sister in this crazy, I live with my folks and my sister in the same house and they,
oh, all four of you live there?
Yeah, and I'm the only person who voted for Hillary.
They all voted Trump?
Yeah, even my gay adopted sister.
Huh.
Yeah, it's crazy. So as kind of a coping mechanism and a strategy, we just don't talk about it a lot.
Yeah, well,
I bet the three of them get together every night.
They're probably having a good old time.
Nah,
they got the W.
Wait till he leaves.
Put up that flag with a W on it.
He's going to a comedy show tonight, man. Your hat's right over there, Jay. Get your cane.
I mean, that would actually be nice if they did that, but I don't think they do. They are very much more like each other than me. Like, they have all served in the military. I have not.
Your sister?
Yeah.
The United States military.
Yeah, she was a Marine.
Wow, all right.
Damn. I'm so proud of her. She's like, get this, she's 4'11", and she went through boot camp and made it out the other side and served in the Marines.
She was shifty, that's why. Nobody could find her.
You know what? Kudos to anyone that's, first of all, adopted from another country, comes to this country, and serves for this country.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
It is fantastic. But that is something that really separates.
Getting deported next week.
Oh, God.
Philippines wants you back, girl.
That's to say, have you heard about like a bunch of people that are like, oh, you know, I got like a grandfather from like Luxembourg or whatever, so I'm going to get my Luxembourg passport just
totally.
In case. Yeah. Phil, that's not an option for me and my sister. Like,
yeah, you ain't
Philippines is way worse.
Yeah.
You don't want anything over there.
Yeah.
Oh, so I asked you about being close with your mom because you have this story here about your mom that I'm dying to hear. I thought maybe you guys were tight and have bonded over something like this experience.
It would be great if it had a happy ending like that, but I don't think it does. All throughout my youth, because my family is like very military oriented, my folks have always like insisted that I take martial arts of some kind.
Oh, wait, can I ask real quick?
Yeah.
Where did your mom serve in the military?
She was an Army nurse.
Army nurse?
Yeah.
Wow.
What'd your dad do?
My dad was in the Army and he retired as major. And he was one of those guys who like, God, he like commanded tanks and guarded the Berlin Wall at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. He's done a lot.
He guarded the wall?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He also said it was just a crazy time where, like, you know, you were just kind of there and it all could come to a close at any time or go completely apeshit. But, like, you just didn't know. You just had to, like, be there and be ready or, like, and just, like, wait it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so he had gone, like, you know, his whole career for probably 25, 30 years in the military, something like that.
Was there any push from them for you to get in the military?
Oh, yeah, there was.
Was there any in your family, Ry?
I went. I got as far as MEPS. I was going to go in and do boot camp for the Navy. I'd gone in and done the physical and all this stuff.
But this was all on your – nobody was anyone pushing you to do this?
No. This was when I was at a point where I just thought I couldn't find a job or anything, and I thought, you know –
not a lot of room in that civic.
The military might be
the bunk
the right
on that
spot.
Submarine. Yeah.
And my grandmother hated it because my dad was in the Navy. She did not want me to do it and did not want me to do it. And I had gone through the first round, and then she died. And
in the military.
My recruiter was like, listen, man, you don't have to do this. Like, you need your family. And so I just didn't go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jesus. Think about how different your life would have been.
Completely.
Yeah.
I came pretty close. I got the only scholarship I got in going to college was a Navy scholarship that my parents forced me to apply for.
Like, you don't have to be – is family of military is eligible then?
Well, no. You don't have to be a family of military. I just applied for the Navy ROTC scholarship, and I got it.
Oh.
They're basically like, you're going to come in the Navy, but they want people, you know.
Is that National Guard style, like two weekends? Or what is it? Twice a month?
It was going to be like after
the summer or some shit?
After I got commissioned, it would be 4 years active and 4 years reserve.
Oh, that's military.
That's military.
Not, that's
straight,
not part-time. Yeah.
No, which is why I didn't do it. But it was so weird. Like, a couple months before I was going into my first semester of college, it was so, like, I was in the film school, but I also was, like, signed up for NROTC. So I was, like, taking Farsi, naval science, and, like, doing all this other stuff that I just kept seeing, like, this is just going to not factor into me wanting to be in, like, entertainment or film at all. Yeah. So I just told my...
Rob Riggle, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not Rob Riggle. So
no, I understand. But you know who is?
Rob Riggle!
Good jazz out.
That
would
be awesome. Nice to see you again, Rob.
So you have a story. You have a line here about how you got out of the military.
Yeah. We'll get back to the mom story in a second.
Yeah, I'm going to make you come back to that story. But now that we're here, how did you get out of that?
Yeah, so I basically just told my, like, just sat my dad down and said, like, it was the eve of Christmas Eve. I remember this very distinctly because we were wrapping presents.
It was the eve of Christmas Eve.
23rd.
You should write that down.
Right? And I was like, I 4 years active. 4 years reserve is too much for me. I'm not going to do it. I just can't. And he's like, okay. And that was that for that night.
Put these three gifts in the fireplace. There you
go. Yeah, right. I said, wait, what's that crackling noise?
Get that pheasant. We're going to cook that.
Put the pheasant over there.
Oh, no. And then the next day, I was playing like one of those first-person shooter games, one of those like Rainbow Six or whatever.
Very military.
Yeah.
Very military.
And my dad, he like came across me playing and he like slapped me in the back of the head.
And he was hand like, with his hand?
Yeah. And he was like, oh, don't you think your sister would be more comfortable playing that game?
Dad.
And they walked off. And I was like, what the hell?
Laughing and high-fiving.
What was that all about? And then very shortly thereafter, my mom, she like pulled me aside and was like, look, your dad is very upset, and I'm putting an ultimatum right here that you either like accept this Naval ROTC scholarship, or we don't give you any of the money that we've saved for you for college, which doesn't make sense.
$50 can go to somebody else.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I didn't have any options at that point because, I didn't get any other scholarships or grants or anything like that. Does this ever happen to anybody when you apply for scholarships or grants, like the government tells you that you make too much money that you're just not going to, they're not going to give you any of anything.
No, yeah. I never had any scholarships or grants.
Yeah.
Mine so we're all financial aid and loans, which I'm still paying.
Right. So she's like, you need to go to apologize to your dad right now. And so I'm like, all right, I guess I'm doing this. All right. Okay. And so I go into his bedroom. My dad, keep in mind, guarded the Berlin Wall, was like, he commanded like, you know, units of tanks and stuff. Very like tough military man. He was like cut all in his like blankets and sheets in his bed. He was crying.
And, what a little bitch.
I it's still funny to me to think about it, even though it is a very tense moment. And I was like, I'm so sorry, Dad. I'm gonna do the scholarship, and I'm sorry that I upset you. And he said, you dishonor me, and then threw a pillow towards me.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, and he missed because I dodged it. But yeah, he was just
look at like, them reflexes.
You should be in the military.
Those are goddamn Marine reflexes.
Right. And I just like walked out of there. I'm like, I guess that's it. My dad cried and threw a pillow at me.
And then you didn't have to do it.
About 2 weeks later, he just out of nowhere was like, you don't want to do it, so you don't have to do it. That's that.
You think you talk to people at work and in the military about their kids and shit like that, and they were like,
"What year was this?"
This was probably 2000. This is 2005.
Yeah, we're at war. At war.
Yeah, he might have, but I was like so depressed, and I was not like fun to be around, and I didn't want to talk to. I don't know. They always thought of me as this happy, bouncy kid.
Get fucking camouflage shorts off, goddammit. You don't deserve it. Your sister should wear those shorts.
They'll be pants for her. They're pants for her.
Pants. She's 4'11".
Yeah. You know what's weird, guys? if you... not that my bedroom is like girly at all, but my sister's bedroom is way more masculine than mine.
In what ways?
Like it has posters of like M16s and shit, and it has like shot glasses and whey protein everywhere.
How old is she?
She's 24.
That's about right. M16.
She's a Marine, man. Right? She's a fucking Marine.
Yeah. She has all this equipment and BDUs and all this shit, and like I just have like, you know, print art and like, hats.
If I was her, I'd lean in your doorway at night with a grenade in my hand and just stare at you. And then I'd go back behind the fucking door.
I remember we had talked about this once at a show, but you said when she was going through the Marine Corps, like through boot camp,
right,
that, you know, when you crawl underneath that, like the barbed wire, you know, in the mud, that she had the fastest time because she didn't have to crawl. She just ran.
I used to limbo with the roller rig. Killed it, man.
Probably. That's probably that. And she was she got awarded as a marksman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is she like is that like her thing?
It's all G.I. Jane in the fucking bedroom next door, all bald heads and dog tags and shit. Like, fuck you, pussy.
Has she been like, what did you call it, when you get sent off? Has she gone overseas? Has she done any tours?
No. If anything, she just hung out in Japan.
Yeah.
We have a four.
Is she out of it already?
She's out of it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm thankful she didn't get deployed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my dad probably directed her in certain choices to make sure that she like wouldn't end up in Afghanistan or Iraq.
So did you ever end up taking a self-defense, karate, jiu-jitsu, whatever? And were you allowed to pick yours, or were they like, no, this is the one you take?
You know, I think at the outset, like when I first started doing martial arts, I did karate, like a very cheap version of karate. And then I ended up doing all sorts of different things because I got interested in it and I wanted to just try different things. Like I ended up doing Taekwondo, and I got a black belt in that. I learned how to knife fight, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
They teach you knife fighting?
No, that was a separate thing that I learned.
And like an alley or something.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Farmer's market.
There's a Filipino martial art called Kali and Eskrima that they...
How do you say it?
Kali or Eskrima.
Eskrima is great on tacos, by the way. You put a little Eskrima on there.
He attacked me. What'd you do? I screamed.
He's a dad.
I screamed.
Virtuoso. What the fuck's your real name? I forgot.
I wonder if you just screamed at an attacker's face, if that would disorient him for just
a few seconds. That's what a scream is. Get out! Hell!
He's a screamer. I know a screamer.
Yeah,
a screamer like vanilla chocolate. A screamer.
So they do a lot of...
That's the first time I've heard ice cream in it.
That's self-defense.
They do a lot of like knife and like stick work. And what was crazy about that?
I see those guys at the park. I see them at the park sometimes. The stick guys.
It's not a stick though.
It's bamboo shoots.
It's bamboo shoots. But when I did it, what was crazy is they used real knives, and they were like, "Oh, but we taped them up with like scotch tape, so it's fine."
Scotch tape?
Yeah.
So that actually, when I put it in your heart, it breaks away clean.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I can get the blood off just by taking the tape off.
Yeah, that's true.
I just got to do all different. I bossed Golden Gloves at one point.
You did?
Yeah.
How? What was your record? Yeah, a little thing about that down here.
Yeah, my record is 0-1.
What happened?
Well, hold on a sec. So you did all these martial arts and you're boxing. Your parents must have like thought that. I mean, did you like all this stuff?
At the time, I really got into a lot of it. In fact, there was a time in my life where I boxed and did Taekwondo at the same time.
Damn.
Yeah.
You mean you were practicing them both, but separately, but at the same time? Not like you were like combining the two art forms
no.
Fucking people up.
Dude, no. I went and watched, a few years ago, I went out to, I can't even think of where it's at. It's east.
Pomona.
Not there, but around that area.
Carson?
They had it. No, it's not south. They had it was a Muay Thai mixed martial arts.
Dude, I love Muay Thai. I can get
more. Mixed martial arts boxing night. So whoever was coming to each match was different. Like,
right.
These two guys are coming in, they're just going to box. These two guys are coming in, they're going to fucking, you know, whatever, Muay Thai or Muay Thai. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I love it. I think it's great.
Oh, it is.
But you were doing that, or you were not doing that?
No, I was doing it separately. I would go to this Taekwondo dojo a couple days a week, and then I go to this Boys and Girls Club and box Golden Gloves the other days of the week.
And what happened in your one fight?
This was in Lubbock, Texas.
Every time I hear Lubbock, all I can think of is, I'm pretty sure it's La Bamba.
Uh-huh.
When he gets up on the mic and his brother's playing drums and he's like, this is one out of Lubbock, Texas. I think that's what he says. That's why I always hear
Lubbock. Wait, where were you living? In Colorado?
No, we were living in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, you were. Okay. Is that a military spot?
No, well, my dad, after he retired, he did a bunch of different jobs, but he ended up teaching a lot, and his foray into teaching was doing ROTC at colleges. So he did. He taught ROTC at Texas Tech in Lubbock, and that's how we ended up there. And at the time, my family like cut a deal with the Taekwondo studio to like get us all black belts because we were like gonna leave in 2 years. And so if I think the deal was if my dad signed all four of us up, my dad, my sister, my mom, and me. And we're guaranteed black belts before we left. He would like we would like guarantee.
I can just give them to you now. I got the box.
Seriously, yeah, dust it off. Yeah, it was basically that. And
what happened in your one fight?
Oh, my one fight. Right. So,
and how old are you?
I am probably like 13 at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would do Golden Gloves. And I went to this boys and girls gym, and in Lubbock, Texas, for those who are not familiar, it's the fly spot on the map, like smack dab in the middle of the panhandle of Texas. Not a lot out there. And because, you know, we were just kids doing Golden Gloves, like you kind of just box whoever you get. And I was like kind of a heavy set kid at the time, and they didn't have somebody in my weight class to box. So they just had this kid who was like 70 pounds heavier than me.
70?
Yeah.
Jesus. Holy shit. It's a Butterbeans kid? Who the fuck was that?
All right. What I loved about this kid was we would actually train at the same Boys and Girls Club. I mean, this is how small it was. I was boxing people that I knew. And he would always brag about how he would want to punch somebody like in a video game. Like he would like literally wind up
swinging his arm around.
Yes. In a circular motion, and then like do an uppercut like it's fucking Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And watching like a 300 pound kid do that is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But he was wanting like to do that in a real boxing match. And needless to say, he wasn't
very
good. Put my
mouth guard in, man. If I can get behind him, I'm going to pull his spine out through his neck. Watch this shit.
Yeah, I'm going to pull some World Combat shit. Yeah. So the Golden Gloves like match they had set up, they had all the undercards they had for that. They just wanted to like have all of us who had signed up for the club to get one match in. And they, like I said, there wasn't a lot of other kids to fight. I was bigger than a lot of kids. And they were like, all right, he's kind of big and this kid's really big, so we'll just put them together.
That's what people are paying to see.
Instead of boosting your confidence and letting you fight a lesser opponent, we're going to boost a kid above yours. Yeah. And let him beat your ass.
Yeah. And I had sparred with this kid, and he was slow. He was dumb. And I would always be able to hit him whenever I wanted. And so when we got in the ring, like, I was just tagging him whenever I wanted. And we went, like, three rounds that I think at, like, 3 or 4 minutes each. And, at the end of it, they declared him the winner by points, like, unanimously. And everybody in the crowd was like, boo. I heard an audible boo from everybody.
Listen, the hot dog vendor had him in 13 and 2.
A hot dog vendor.
Who are the fucking judges?
Yeah, might as well be a hot dog vendor, man. I got robbed. And it was crazy. I went to school the next day, and there was somebody at my school that went to that fight and like, I didn't know that you boxed, but I saw you got robbed. They told me that I got robbed, and I was like, man, boxing's rigged. And I stopped boxing after that.
I don't blame you. Probably saved yourself again, too. You probably would have been beat to death in your head.
Yeah. And so I just ended up like going back to Taekwondo and getting...
So back to the story with your mom.
Black belt.
Yeah.
We went to two different stories. Now we're back here. There's this Taekwondo studio in Lubbock, Texas that I went to. And like I was saying earlier, my dad cut a deal to get us all black belts. And I was sort of the first in. And we're all getting fast-tracked. But I gotten a black belt first.
And does it take longer than 2 years to get a black belt?
It takes longer than two years. Yeah, but I mean, everybody.
Have you ever heard black belt? It's like a giant achievement.
And I know that, but I didn't know. Maybe you're really good at it, and you just test when you're ready. I don't know.
Sure, but I don't know.
It's up to the discretion of the person who owns the dojo, and because my master. Master Kim, he was on the Olympic demonstration
you
team.
You are not going to believe
Master
this
Kim!
Shit.
Master Kim!
Bring those nunchucks, baby!
Get your ass out of here, Master Kim.
You bring zombies back on this
fucking? You are the last dragon.
We sure do, baby.
The power of the glow.
Yeah, he died of cancer a few years ago. He was on the Olympic demonstration team to make Taekwondo a sport. So the first time they...
That would be a sport.
Yeah.
There's a defense. Someone trying to stop you. Go ahead.
And so he was legit, but he kind of just set up his own sort of like business, and it was up to him how fast or slow he wanted people to go. But so I was like fast tracked through it, and I got my black belt first, and then my mom was next. And have you guys ever taken martial arts or?
Nope.
Boxing, no martial arts.
Yeah, boxing, probably for the better, doesn't have these, like, belts. You just, like, train every day and you hopefully get better. With martial arts, you go through these series of belts of different colors, and usually when you graduate to another belt, there's this, like, test day where they, like, make you do the forms that you've learned throughout the past few months, and you, like, do kicks, and, like, you just show that you've learned something. And then usually, at least at this dojo, we sparred as a part of, like, you know, the test. And as you get higher in belt, it's supposed to be harder. And then as, like, a nice little frosting at the end, you get to break some wood. Spoiler alert, the lower the belt you are and the younger you are, they take a hammer to some of that wood. So it makes it really easy on the kids. But so my mom was up for her black belt, and my master thought it would be really great if my mom sparred me for her black belt.
Oh. How tall is your mom?
My mom is 5'1".
Okay.
And how tall were you at that time?
I was probably 5'8".
And it was his idea, or you think this was your mom's idea?
No, it was definitely his idea.
So he's that fat kid's idea.
So he's thinking you're, I mean, you're not really even similar in size. That's 7 inches.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I don't know what my mom was thinking, or she obviously it wasn't her idea based on the outcome, but my master.
But also, you're already a black belt.
I'm already a black belt, but yeah, that was sort of part of the.
I think that's how it might be, though, right? You have to fight a black belt to get your black belt.
Right.
Then they beat him, they lose their black, but just like ongoing cycle.
Yeah, that's all
it
is.
He had a racket down there.
Exactly.
I love it.
He sure did.
And I think he was kind of going.
He's on the demonstration
committee.
I've been
doing this shit for 30 years. I got 6 students, man.
He might have been going easy on her now that I think about it. I think I had to spar like 2 or 3 people for my black belt. But he, you know, it was weird. He joked about it before the match started that he was like, oh, you better not go hard on her if you want to eat tonight.
Yeah.
And he said, like, so at these tests, they're not private. Like, people can come and watch their kids, like, you know, do their forums and spar and all that and cheer them on. So he's like saying this to this crowd of like soccer moms and dads like, oh, you were just about to watch like legal domestic abuse. Wouldn't it be funny if he just like eased up because he wanted to eat or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Your mom was like, fucking, let's do this shit.
That fat kid just beat me over there. He's got a bag of candy bars. Let's go, mom.
Now, Ryan had asked if my... if I was close with my mom, it's been a complicated relationship.
Sounds like this might be a very specific point. Moment yeah. in that relationship right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, she's not a very positive person. There have been places that she's been supportive, but there have been other times where I just like, God, what do you even like me? I don't know. I had a lot of anger and rage as a teenager, as a lot of people do. But I, like, you know, I was put in this weird position where I bet, like, when kids get yelled at by their parents or their mom or something like that, they're like, oh, if I could only, like fight you or something. And here the opportunity is where I just, like, yep, here you go. What are you going to do? So I kind of, like, time slows down before you go into an actual fight, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just so weird. And I go through a bunch of series of thoughts, and I wonder how I should, like, attack my mom.
Is your dad talking to you at all about this? Like, hey.
He wasn't there.
But he was away for the military?
Yeah, at work or something. And
coming home, or he just decided that night it was happening. Like, you didn't know this? You and your mom were going to fight for, like, a week?
No, this was, like, a last
minute. Oh, this is day of. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. You're going to fight your son.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So your mom can't even mentally prep for that. That's actually a smart move.
Yeah. And so
this guy really had to figure it out.
He did have it all figured
mm-hmm.
out.
Yeah. And so this thought dawns on me that it is her black belt that she's trying to get. So I should probably make her earn it.
Hey,
I like that 100%. Yeah. If I had a chance to get in the ring with my mom and go fist to fist, you know what I mean?
I'd probably lose, but I'd tell you, my mom wouldn't walk away the same.
That is a point of pride. That's something you can hang your hat on. So for three rounds, around like 3 minutes each, I just like go berserk on my mom.
You did?
Yeah, I beat the living daylights out of her.
All right, how many headshots you get in?
Before I get to that,
can I just ask real quick before you get to that also, like, are you wearing the red headgear? And
yeah,
the
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, we're all padded. We got headgear. We got
forearms,
shin guards, and the thing with the on the chest.
Oh, okay. That's there too. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So we're all, and we got gloves on. But I like punch,
but
kick.
But you just sticking jabs right in there between everything?
Oh, no, my mom wasn't good. So I could just do whatever I wanted. I didn't need to have to like jab to like get her in. I just like pummeled her into a corner.
This golden glove shit ain't going to happen to me again. Yeah.
And I just beat the crap out of her. And
beat the shit out of her.
Yeah, for three rounds.
How long's a round?
Like 3 minutes, man.
That's nine minutes to beat your mom's ass.
Yeah, yeah. And
she didn't get any shots in?
I mean, she might have, but it just like maybe on my arm or like nothing really good.
Were
like
people rooting for her?
I think people didn't know what to think. Yeah. You know, it kind of went quiet.
Yeah.
Because you're watching a son beat up on his mom, you know? And it's not like, you know, normally.
So much bigger, too. Now you just look like that guy forced you to look like an asshole or a pussy.
Right.
You had a choice.
Right. So. Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Who would be cheering, by the way? Like, it's one thing if your parents are there.
Your dad, over in the corner, probably like, yeah.
Yeah. Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg.
And how they Jesus.
And so when it was all over, she still got her black belt because we had paid before.
Well, I mean, right. She got her brown and everything else leading up to it.
Yeah, but...
But she didn't earn that black belt.
No, she didn't earn any of those belts.
She earned that ass whoop, it sounds like. So yeah. She was pissed, huh?
She's pissed, and...
Still.
We don't really talk about it, but I do think it is a seed of discontent in our relationship
since. You don't think you could go home tonight and sit down and go, Mom... Can we talk about the time we had to fight for your black belt?
No.
She would say, she would get mad, or she would just be like, we're not talking about it.
We're not talking about it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
She's
just
like, you know what? Fuck that. Let's go.
Let's go now. I got my gi in the car.
Does she have an accent?
No, she doesn't. She hasn't
beat it out of her.
She used to.
She doesn't have an accent, but there is this thing. Specifically, when Filipinos come from the Philippines to America, they have a problem learning gender pronouns because that isn't like really a thing over in America.
Apparently, that's all changing anyway, so they could just stay as is.
Right. That's why there's a new Filipino restaurant in Sunset, and that's why it's called Sir Ma'am.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, just a little play on words. But yeah, like my Filipino grandmother on my mom's side, she would always like call us by the wrong gender because that was just the thing they did. But yeah, my mom is we didn't like make up after that. If anything, after that, maybe tangentially connected. But
so your dad's idea to fast track you guys to get you out of Lubbock with black belts basically backfired and fucking up your relationship
with
your mom.
And for what?
What
was his goal? Being like, nah, we all leave here with black belts because wherever we go, they're not gonna know how we got.
That's right. I just tell everybody anytime I'm new somewhere. I'm black belt, man.
Yeah, just go on Amazon, get yourself a box of black.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, and you can go down the mall, get it embroidered, put as many like gold bars as you want on it, and like, yeah, I'm a sixth Dan of whatever.
What if you had gone into the military and they're like, says here's your black belt, huh? Well, let's fight you up against this black belt. I'm 1-0.
Yeah, beat the fuck out of my mom one time. Stopped her from getting that black
belt. It was sanctioned. Though.
All right, we're going to make this guy a sniper. He seems...
Seriously.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, man. But that, you know, there's this show in LA called Shoot 'Em Up Stories where they, like, you tell a story, then a screenwriter adapts that story, and then they have a filmmaker adapt that story, that screenplay, into a short film.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and all of it's sort of random. I didn't know the screenwriter before I told the story, and the screenwriter didn't know the filmmaker before they adapted it. And
this exists?
It's a short film you can watch online.
Of you beating your mom?
No. It's like 3 degrees removed, and it seems way nicer. Purple. And has like a happy ending to it when it clearly doesn't.
Damn.
Man.
Well, yeah.
You have lived a life, my friend.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's only just begun. That's the crazy part.
It is. I'm only 30.
Are you really?
Yeah.
God, you have lived a lot of years in 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, your life has just begun, but we are having to wrap here on this episode. We're there at that time, my friend. That's what happens when you have a good episode. It goes by fast, brother.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you for coming on.
Dude, thanks for coming on, Jake.
Absolutely.
Will you one more time with social media, your shows? Didn't you say there was a show tonight?
No, there's a show tonight at the Lyric Hyperion in Silver Lake, if you guys live in Los Angeles.
It's a great venue.
It's called Jake Kroger Dates the Audience. I'm going to go on a date with the whole audience. And that is especially interesting to me because I'm 30 and why am I teasing stuff? I'm a virgin, never made out with anybody.
Whoa, let's pump the brakes on the end of that episode.
You're a virgin, huh?
Yeah.
And never made out with anyone.
No.
And I'm not saying this to be completely an asshole here, but you can pay for that if it's something you really want.
Does that not
turn you on, or is that not the way you want it to go down? Because we've had guests come on. I don't remember who it was who said at like 18, a mom or something got him laid by a prostitute or something like that.
I can't remember. But there's also apps of... Now more than ever, you can reach anybody. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You can go to Craigslist right now, and there's somebody sitting in an apartment right now with all their holes open. You can just go in there and put whatever you want in and get out of there.
Is that the subject line of the Craigslist? All holes
available, I'm pretty sure. I guarantee you that title's been taken on Craigslist one or two times.
I'm just not into that. I mean, I've had plenty of chances to like get laid, and I just wasn't into the person.
What about making out, though?
How do you have a chance to get laid but not make out first?
Oh, you know, some girls like really drunk when you go out dancing and, you know, when you drive them home because you mistakenly promised too early to drive them home.
Girl, I met this guy. First of all, his dancing was amazing, and then I watched him beat his mother up, and I was like, this is the man for me.
This is a keeper.
I mean, you dress like you fucked 10 women a night. I mean, that's what you look like out there. You look like they'd just be falling off of you.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, man. It's just, I want to be in love with the person I have sex with.
Good for you for saying this, by the way. If we'd have turned these mics off, you'd be like, by the way, I'm a virgin. We'd have been like, we'll turn ours back on. And I'm not, I didn't want to keep this going in any way to make fun of you or anything like that. I'm just fascinated by that, and I find it super interesting. So
it's also you, it's a lot of times I feel like you meet girls that are virgins later on because they're like, you know, holding on. Like I had a friend that was virgin till 26.
Right.
You know
a woman.
I mean? Woman, yeah. But you know,
it's just come as like a lower priority for me.
Well, nothing's come.
Well, by somebody else's hand, no. Yeah, I've come on my own.
So, I mean, without getting too juvenile here,
right?
You're not even past first base then if you haven't made out with a girl.
No.
All right.
Yeah. You
laid down a couple sack bumps. Yeah.
Wait, on the third strike.
Don't you remember this? The live app that was a crossover with Anna Faris.
Yeah, that's right. You.
I asked Anna, like, how.
Anna.
Anna, how to make out with somebody for the first time. And she just stared at me blankly for like 30 seconds. And then Jay was like, all right, I got to pick this up here. And you described.
That's right.
Making out with Kate for the first time, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I remember making up with her for the first time.
No, you dropped her off and you like before.
I remember too.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on our first date. Yeah.
And then you were like, just do whatever. Everyone's different.
That's the truth. Yeah. Everyone's different. Whatever works for you is all that matters. And the other person, obviously, too.
Yeah.
Are you on the dating apps? Are you out there looking for someone?
That's the thing. I mean, technically, I'm looking for somebody, but it's just not. It doesn't take priority over all the stuff that I do in like comedy and whatever.
I hear you loud and clear. Plus, you're 30 years old. At this point, you're not just looking to fuck. You're looking for someone to be in a relationship with because you could have gone and done the other thing a long time ago.
Oh yeah, I go dancing at least once or twice a week.
Do you?
Yeah.
What kind of dancing?
I just go to like clubs that have music that I like, and I just dance.
But are you salsa? Anything specific?
No, I go to
swing. You dress like you could swing dance.
Right. I go to a lot of like funk and soul nights.
Okay.
Yeah, and I meet a lot of girls. I get their numbers a lot of
time. Yeah, dancing's very sensual.
Yeah, and it turns out, guys, here's a tip. If you're a dude that just dances on the dance floor by himself, girls might want to dance with you rather than if you hover around them like a creep.
Right.
And
the creep's the one that's going to get laid after the show. But yeah, you got all the dancing.
Yeah, because I'm just busy off dancing and I just want to go dance there. I mean, that's what I do for cardio, man. I go and dance for like 90 minutes, 2 hours.
That's great. But yeah. You never like want to say, hey, I want to make out with this chick.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know how to like go about it in a way that might like I just don't want to be called a creep, I guess. You know?
Well, that's the risk you take. Sometimes you have to like pick up on a vibe and be like, I'm just going to kiss this chick because I know she. And then, there are going to be times where a girl might be like, hey, whoa, I didn't see it like that. And you're like, okay. I mean, it's a different climate nowadays, but I still think you can also say like, hey, is it cool if I kiss you?
Right.
And then,
100%. It is a different climate these days. I still am of the old school that if you think you're reading a vibe and you go to try to kiss a woman and she says, whoa, no, thank you. I don't think that makes you a predator.
Right.
No. Makes it uncomfortable.
Right.
Certainly. I don't know if you rebound from that or not, but it doesn't make you, right.
You know what would be a really good move is you dance with a girl and you can tell she's into you. You'd be like, I've never kissed a girl before. That chick is going to kiss you in two seconds.
Jay Larson.
Yeah.
That might be 100% right about that.
So rather
there's some woman out there that wants to be your first whatever.
Yeah, I believe so. But rather than doing dating apps or anything like that, I'm doing a whole show where I just go on a date with a bunch of people.
And what do you do? You actually take the audience somewhere?
No, we're going to be in the theater. But, they have food and drink at the Lyric Hyperion, a great little theater in Silver Lake. And
do you set that up at the show that you're a virgin and you've never made out with a girl and that's what this whole dating experience is?
He would make out with a chick at that show.
Oh, dude, you probably would get an STD right after that show at F-Fast.
I guess I'm counting on it. I don't know.
You know what? Longest guy I've ever met to make out, quickest guy I ever get a black belt.
By the way, did your mom ever rally and go get that black belt somewhere down the line? Oh, that's right. He gave it to her. But I mean, really, did she really go get it?
No.
You guys all bought black belts.
She didn't care.
No, I mean, we got awarded the black belts, and they're somewhere in storage. But yeah, she didn't earn it.
Does your mom know you're a virgin?
They think they know.
All three of them got a money bet on.
Yeah, they probably. Yeah, they're so far as I've only brought one girl home ever who was a friend, and then they chased her away because my dad called her mom a bitch over the phone.
What?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry to make this longer.
No, why'd he call her a bitch?
Well, so I was like, you know, in high school, you chase some girls that are maybe not interested in you, and you'll put up with being a friend or whatever. And, like, my dad saw what was happening and didn't very much appreciate me being put in the friend zone, which I actually am fine with that. You know, if you connect with somebody.
My son's going to be a Marine!
Fast forward to him in the bed, like.
So, like, this girl that I was wanting to go after, we'd been trying to make plans for like 3 weeks, and she just kept canceling on me. And I think, like, I didn't have a cell phone at the time, so she, like, her mom, like, called our house to just say that she had to cancel again. And my dad just had a discussion, I guess, quote unquote discussion, with this girl's mom, and it did not end well.
Your dad's got an interesting way about going about shit.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
Jake, don't you worry about it. You're going to be plenty of fish in the sea.
Yeah, once I leave this house, probably. Anyways, that's called Jake Kroger Dates the Audience. September 25th. That's a Tuesday at 8 p.m.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
That's tonight.
Yeah, Tuesday. And tickets are $8. Follow the Comedy Bureau on cross platforms at the Comedy Bureau. Follow me on Twitter at MFJ Kroger or Not the Supermarket on Instagram. And, guys, thank you so much for having me on.
You got it, buddy. This was great.
Yeah, thank you for opening up and being honest. That's not always easy, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, buddy. Great to see you. Absolutely. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy across all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.